It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Turn up your volume.
Because you're about to listen to
The Sick Podcast.
With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur.
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the spot!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne! Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground. Your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro on this Tuesday, April 30th. Hope everyone is doing well. How are you? It is the Sick Podcast, and you are watching on YouTube, you are watching on Facebook, and you are watching on Twitter, and we are going to talk Montreal Canadiens hockey. Yes, that's right, Montreal Canadiens hockey. We are not live the way I've told you all along that we probably wouldn't be most of the time, if not almost all of the time during the playoffs, because, of course, playoff games are going on, and the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs, that game started at around 7 o'clock. The Islanders in Carolina started at 7:30. By the time that we're actually going up here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, the Toronto game is probably over, and the Islander game is close to being over. So because everyone who's anyone who works in hockey wants to watch these games and report or cover them or talk about them, it's hard to get guests at around this time. Colorado and Winnipeg got started at 9:30. Nashville and Vancouver at 10 o'clock. So what you're watching right now was actually recorded right before the game started. All right. So keep that in mind. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. The Sick Podcast brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, a leading full service logistics provider serving all of North America, driven to be different. Also brought to you by these guys behind me, Brewed in Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. Of course, I'm talking to you about La Bite TB, offering quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bite TB, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground, over 30,000 square feet of new gaming, dining, and entertainment space. Time to reacquaint yourself with Playground. World-class sushi, AAA steaks, live shows, a brand new poker floor, so much more. Located just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Playground. Playground, experience the strip without the trip. And also brought to you in part by Accent Insurance Solutions. All insurance isn't created equal. You know where to find the right insurance solution for you. Accent Insurance. That's right. They don't just sell insurance. They shop insurance for you to find the right product right on the money. Whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business, call the Accent team at 514-363-3636 and get the right solution at the right price. Visit their website at accentassurance.com. Without further ado, let's bring in our first guest tonight, because last night the Tampa Bay Lightning were eliminated, which means that everyone in the hockey world right now is talking about Steven Stamkos. And listening to John Cooper last night, it almost seemed like he wanted to squash the news. But is Stamkos staying in Tampa Bay, or is he going elsewhere? We have to ask the question. And if we ask the question, hey, It's a podcast covering the Montreal Canadiens. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Do I think Steven Stamkos is coming to the Montreal Canadiens? No, I do not. If I lived in Tampa Bay and hockey was secondary and I got to fish in my free time or go to the beach and enjoy the 30-degree weather, Celsius that is, would I want to go to Montreal? No, I would not. I'm going to get that out of the way right away. However, he knows Marty St. Louis pretty well. He knows Vinny LeCavalier pretty well. He's already won his 2 Stanley Cups, so he doesn't have to win another cup. He's already made all the money in the world, so he doesn't have to chase more money. And maybe he would want to have fun. Mind you, it looked like he was having fun this year, or a different kind of fun, or maybe he's looking for a different kind of challenge. Listen, I think it's worth the conversation, so let's see where it goes. And bringing in someone who's covered the Tampa Bay Lightning for quite some time, he is Lightning Insider and LightningInsider.com, Eric Erlandson. Eric, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. Hey, can I just say that intro before coming on the show? That was sick.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah. And we think it is.
Good stuff.
Hey, listen, you know what? Why don't we bring him in right now? He's with the Tampa Bay Times. You had a chance to get me his number earlier today when I asked about him. Ed Encina. Why don't we bring him in? Ed, how are you?
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us. I very much appreciate it. Look, I got two guys who cover the Tampa Bay Lightning day in, day out, know the organization, the team, the players like the back of their hand. So I'm really grateful for that. So, Eric, you know, let's start with you, Steven Stamkos. As you get older, your production is supposed to dip a little bit. Your goals are supposed to dip. Your assists are supposed to dip. Your points are supposed to dip. And Stamkos didn't hit career highs this year. No, he didn't. And yes, his numbers dipped. But the numbers that he was able to put up are absolutely unbelievable for a 34-year-old hockey player. Steven Stamkos this year had 40 goals. That's third on the Lightning. 41 assists. That's fifth on the Lightning. 81 points. That's third on the Lightning in the regular season. His playoff numbers were absolutely fantastic. 5 goals, 1 assist, 6 points in 5 games. Eric, he's dropped off from the 106 points of a couple of years ago and maybe the 98 points of a couple of years before that. And dropped off from the guy who scored 60 goals back in 2011 and 2012. But Steven Stamkos is like fine wine, my friend.
Yeah, did anybody tell Sidney Crosby that you're supposed to get, you know, your numbers are supposed to drop with age too? What is that, 17 straight seasons at a point per game?
What do they both have in common, Eric? First pick overalls. I mean, franchise players, generational talents.
Well, and, you know, look, the game is much different than it was even 20 years ago in terms of how players take care of themselves. And it was very early on in Steven's career that he got with Gary Roberts. You know, Gary Roberts, his last, you know, season in the NHL was here. He got to know Steven a little bit, brought Steven in as a client, you know, in the summer, in the offseason with, you know, the nutrition and the workouts and everything. So, I mean, look, players understand that to be able to be productive at that age, you better take care of yourself at 20, 21, and 22 so that you can be this productive at 24. And look, when you have Nikita Kucherov making passes to you, like Nikita Kucherov can make passes to you, and you can still shoot the way Steven Stamkos can shoot, you're going to have the production there, I think. And he's – look, the production is there for sure. There's so much more to what he brings to this team. It's the leadership skills. You know, you talk to anybody in that series against Florida. Yeah, 5 goals in 5 games. He had goals in each of the first 4. It was the way that he was working the room in the locker room, what he was saying, how he was saying it, the positivity, the going out and delivering some big hits. He had a huge hit on Aaron Ekblad in game 3 trying to fire up his team. So there's a lot more to Steven Stamkos than just the production numbers that you see.
Ed, Steven Stamkos probably played his last game with Tampa Bay last night. Probably did not. His team is eliminated. He's got so much on his mind. You wouldn't blame him if he was thinking about his contract. You wouldn't blame him if he was thinking about his future. You wouldn't blame him if he was just basically dazed out of everything because, you know, it's just so much coming at you. Yet, take a look at the images last night once this game is over. Victor Hedman, I think, is the last player to get off the ice. There's Steven Stamkos not going back to the room until the last player gets off the ice, which was Hedman. And there you see it, Hedman, and there you see the fist pump as he goes back into the tunnel. You know, Eric was just talking about how this player takes care of himself on and off the ice.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Look at the way he carries himself. I mean, there's organizations that they try forever to draft a player like this and or cultivate a player like this. And they can't, or they don't. And Tampa Bay has it, all class by Steven Stamkos from start to finish.
Yeah, absolutely. And Eric and I were actually just talking about this afternoon. Is, you know, teams try to get players to build around, and it's so hard, even when you have that number one overall pick. And what they were able to do with Stamkos and then with Hedman is really, you know, the foundation of the success of that. Of this organization. Obviously they've had other great pieces, you know, they had great ownership, you know, great front office, obviously John Cooper and his coaching staff and a lot of players, you know, like the Nikita Kucherovs and the Andre Vasilevskis and the Braden Points to build around. But I think anyone who's around this organization, around the room and, you know, has really followed this team for a long time knows that it really kind of all starts with 91. And he was the one that is synonymous with just the way that this organization has been built and built into a winner. And I think the big thing about Steven, when you think about it, is he's been through everything. You know, he's been through the injuries. He's been through being the hyped number one guy. And you hear him talk about it all the time. And when you talk about, all the experiences that he's been through, good and bad, you know, when they say, you know, you've got to, you know, learn how to lose to win. You've got to learn to how to deal with all the adversity, all the bumps, you know, the injuries, everything, but before you get there, I think that's probably one of the biggest assets that he has beyond the points, beyond, you know, the 40 goals, beyond everything he does on the ice. Obviously this year he was, you know, I think you everyone would say, you know, he really upped up his two-way game, especially down the stretch in the playoffs. He said those hard hits that he's laid out. But anyone in that room, you know, like Eric said, he says he has such a good pulse. He says the right thing at the right time, but everyone really looks to him. And whether it's, you know, the guys who've been there along the whole ride with Tampa Bay over their you know, the past decade and the success that they've had, or the new guy in the room. And I think everyone in there always, you know, can always say that Steven Stamkos is the leader there, and that, you know, he always just has the perfect pulse of what it means. And the big part of it is because he's been there. He has the cachet.
Yeah.
He's been through it all.
Let's bring back up the Hockey DB graphic if we can. All right, there you have it. Once again, guys, drafted first overall in 2008. He's been a full-time member of the Tampa Bay Lightning since 2008. 555 goals in 1,082 games. That's better than a goal every other game. 582 assists in 1,082 games. That's better than an assist every other game. 1,137 points in 1,082 games. That's more than a point per game. And take a look at the playoffs. 50 goals in 128 games. 51 assists, 101 points. This guy brings it in the regular season. This guy brings it in the playoffs. He's a Rocket Richard Trophy winner. Multiple times. He's a Mark Messier Leadership Award winner. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion. Basically accomplished almost everything you think that he could accomplish in Tampa. Eric, is there anything left for him to accomplish in Tampa?
How about 600 goals? Reaching that here.
There you have it.
45 more goals to go. You know, it might be a stretch to do it in one season, but certainly by two seasons, it's something that you could think is very attainable and join that exclusive list of players who have done it. But yeah, sure, he's accomplished just about everything there is. And look, and I think that's why the 2021 Cup meant so much to him, because in 20, he missed that entire playoff run. He came back for that magical moment in game three against the Dallas Stars in the final, scored that goal. But everything you just listed there, everything you just said about Steven Stamkos, you know what that sounds like? A player you don't want to let get away. You can't afford to let get away. He's been the face of this franchise for a decade and a half. You know, you go all the way back to before he was even drafted with the Steven Stamkos marketing campaign. You know, the shirts, you still see bumper stickers around town that have that on there. You still see little things on light posts that say Steven Stamkos, that have been around for that long. That's how much he's meant to this organization. And it would be an absolute shame if he is not back with this team in some capacity. There's cap issues that you have to deal with, and the Lightning have been in cap hell for a number of years now. And, you know, the clock comes ticking and it counts down to midnight for everybody at some point. But he's still productive. He's still a fantastic leader. And you still look, I know they've been knocked out in the first round two straight years. They were better than Toronto last year. They could have won that series. They didn't. They lose three games on home ice in overtime, or else maybe we're talking differently. They were probably overmatched a little bit by Florida. It wasn't a good matchup for them this year. But it doesn't mean that their window's closed, right? Stamkos, yes, he's 34. Victor Hedman's 33. But Andrei Vasilevskiy is 30. Nikita Kucherov is 30. Braden Point is 28. Brandon Hagel is 25. Mikhail Sergachev is 25. This is not Pittsburgh, where everybody – basically hit the same point of their careers at the same time. You've got a tiered system in terms of where players are at in their career. This is still a good team. They got holes. The depth has taken a hit. But if you bring Steven Stamkos back, it's not just because of everything we talked about in leadership. It's because this team still can win.
You know, Eric, I don't know if you're reading my mind, but I was going to talk about Pittsburgh to Ed in just a second here, because, you know, I take a look at the Pittsburgh Penguins and where they are. And you know what? I've been wrong more often than not. But I'm going to tell you, I was right on Pittsburgh, because several years ago I said, friends is friends, business is business. The Penguins accomplished what they set out to do, and that was to do a full rebuild and to win a couple of Stanley Cups, and they did. Once it was mission accomplished, I thought they had to move on. I'm not saying that they had to move on from Crosby, but they had to move on from Letang and Malkin. And if Crosby would have understood what you were doing and he would have wanted to move on as well, well, then you could have accommodated. You could have done it the classy way and do what was best for the organization. And that is rebuild, because Crosby wouldn't have been able to win by himself. But anyway, that's another story for another day, okay? But with the second that they re-signed Malkin and they re-signed Letang and all these long-term contracts, I said, this is the wrong move. And you know what? I don't think Pittsburgh's going to win anytime soon. And now, you know, we're talking about Tampa Bay. And I was just going to ask Ed, is Tampa Bay where Pittsburgh are? Eric says they're not, because he talked about how many younger players they have. But can Tampa Bay afford to give Steven Stamkos a long-term deal? And if so, at how much money, knowing that they're cash-strapped to begin with and they have cap issues to begin with? And that, I think, you know, ends up being the whole recipe to the caramel bar here. Once we can figure that out, I think we're going to know where to go from there. So your thoughts on where Tampa Bay is compared to where Pittsburgh is, how far they are from that, and whether or not they can afford to give Stamkos a long-term deal, and if that makes sense.
Right. You know, and that's the, you know, like you said, the magical, you know, solution here. I mean, there's no doubt that they have a lot of money tied up in a lot of players, you know, and like Eric said, you know, there are players at different points in their careers. Like, you know, you have the Stamkoses and the Hedmans that are coming up, but you've really invested in a lot of those, the other guys, and especially some of the younger guys like the Sorellis and the Sergachevs and the Chernaks and Brandon Hagel, you know, Nick Paul, guys like that, who, you know, when Julian Breezeball has, you know, built this team, the whole key has been to keep that window open, to, you know, have these committed contracts and guys that you're investing in for the long-term future. And obviously there's some big, big deals there though. So, but they're in different parts of their careers. Now, obviously the big question with Stamkos is what's it going to take? And, we saw before, we saw that he took a deal that was, you know, under market value, that he could have gotten something more elsewhere, that, you know, his heart was in Tampa and that he saw that, you know, he had the ability to win Stanley Cups here. So he saw that. Now, having said that, now, as we, you know, years down the road, is, you know, probably he's looking at his last contract of his career. What is it going to take? That's the magical question. And here, I think Eric would agree, is that, like, over the course of the year, there were definitely, like, times when you thought that this might be the end. There's times when you thought that he might stay. I think, you know, the one thing that both sides have always talked about is, you know, things tend to work themselves out. Now, the one thing we do know is Julian Breezeball has been a master at working things out. You know, he's been a guy that's figured out how to work around.
Say it. Work around the cap a couple of years ago against the Montreal Canadiens. It took 3 years, but finally the truth shall set you free, Ed Encina. Good for you for saying it. He's circumvented. Take a sip. Yeah, take a sip. Take a long sip.
I hear you. So, you know, I mean, he's been able to maneuver his way around, you know, some difficulties with the salary cap. But at the end of the day,
Vegas.
At the end of the, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, it's going to come down to how much Steven wants to be here and how much that window means to him. But I mean, the one thing he I think Eric would agree with this is, like, he's such a big part of the fabric of this organization that it's so difficult to even fathom the idea of him not being here. And that means something. You know, obviously he wants to win. Obviously, you know, he has a legacy. Obviously, he wants to finish up his Hall of Fame career strong. But at the end of the day, there's so many little kind of intangible factors that we really don't know, but that they really mean a lot to Steven Stamkos. And from covering, you know how much that means to him, you know?
You know, Ed brought up some really good points, especially circumventing the cap. That was great. And this is going to be all over social media out of Montreal tomorrow. It's going to go viral. Poor Ed's going to go nuts. But all kidding aside here, we're having fun here. But all kidding aside, you know, we talked about Victor Hedman. His contract is up next year. He makes $7.875 million on the cap. Stamkos' contract, as we know, is up this year. He makes $8.5 million on the cap. You talked about Julian Brisebois being able to make things happen and maneuver and do the math. Can he do the math for both? Can he make both happy? Can he make both fit? Eric, do you think both can be made happy and both can fit in a year?
Can they? Yeah, I think they can. There's
how?
There are ways to make it work. Well, you can move salary out, right? If you wanted, and then that's the easiest way to do it. We know the cap is going up, but it's going up $5 million this year. It's probably going to go up a decent amount again next year as, you know, they're past all the escrow situation and all that is paid off and those TV contracts start to kick in and league revenues start to go up. That's when, you know, the HRR and everything kicks the cap up. So the cap numbers will go up. The question is going to be, because it all comes down to cap hit, right? So we can talk about long contract and everything else. Nobody's doing any Ilya Kovalchuk contracts anymore for sure, but you can still manipulate a contract to keep a cap hit down, spread it out to where it's front loaded in dollars, but back loaded in cap hit, right? So there are ways to make that work. What was the proposed deal for Alex Killorn? He could have made the same amount of money on a contract here before he signed with Anaheim, but it was just spread out over a longer period of term. So that's one way that you could do it. So let's say, even if it is, not saying it's going to happen, but let's say it's an 8-year contract on Steven Stamkos. If that cap hit is around $5 million, he's probably not going to play out all 8 years of that, right? And then there's a front office job waiting for him at the end of whenever he's decided to hang up his skates. So there are ways to make it work. You could do the same thing with Victor Hedman. You know, he's still a 24, 25-minute-a-night guy. He took on a huge responsibility this year when Mikhail Sergachev went down and they missed him for half the season. So he proved that he can still play. I don't know if he's still this Norris Trophy winner he was like in 2018, but he's, you know, not far off of that. So there are ways to make it work. Julian and Matthew Darche have done a tremendous job of navigating through this salary cap, the flat cap, everything else to keep this team competitive. And I think that there is a way to make it happen with both those guys. It's just going to probably be a little bit more tricky than any of the other ones that he's had to deal with.
Ed, as you said, we've been down this road before where Stamkos' contract was up. And you know what? There were bigger offers from other teams. And he accepted less money, albeit 8.5 point, you know, 8.5 million per season is pretty nice. Not too shabby.
And no state tax. No state tax down here, Tony.
And no state tax. Yeah, another reason why I want to move. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Unfortunately, I missed the bus when it passed about 10 years ago when our dollar was at par. I had a chance to buy in Pompano, and I didn't. And I'm kicking myself ever since. But anyway, we'll talk about that off the air. But he stayed in Tampa for less money. And by all accounts, it looks like he's had a lot of fun there. Why would you want to leave Tampa? You have astute front office staff. You have a great coach. You have a great goalie. You have a great horse on defense. You got a couple of really good players who are going to be really good for a while. You got a number one centerman. You got arguably one of the top three players in the world. You have the beach. You have fishing. You have golf. You have the sun. No state tax. Could you think of any reason, Ed, why he would want to leave, which wouldn't be monetary? Like, let's just say the money was still important for him and there's an offer that he could feel disrespected by. Like, besides the money aspect, is there another reason why you would think he would consider leaving Tampa?
Well, I mean, I think we saw a glimpse of that at the beginning of the season when, you know, he was pretty, you know, he expressed his frustration that there wasn't any extension offers in the offseason. You know, I think he wanted to have that solved before he went into the season. So, you know, that's what he wanted. He was upset that didn't happen, and he made it clear. Now, having said that, he didn't let that, you know, become a factor, obviously, throughout the season or anything like that.
He said, I'll show you. I'll still do my part. Right. Exactly. But so you're saying there could be a chance that he felt disrespected then.
Absolutely. I mean, like, players are players, you know. I mean, like, you know, and you know, there's no doubt that Steven Stamkos knows his value, you know, and he knows, and especially after the year that he had, and, you know, leading the team again into the playoffs, and honestly, a team that at some points looked like it didn't really wasn't necessarily a playoff caliber team, you know. They obviously went through a lot, and, you know, Vasilevsky was hurt. You know, Sergachev was out for a good, you know, 3 months for the most part. And you know, when you talk to the guys in the room, and you actually talk to John Cooper, he'll tell you that it's the leadership core of this group that really pulled them out, you know. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, like, I think that's the kind of the part of it you don't really know is what he's thinking from that part of it. But yes, I mean, when you put everything all together, they're – And you slice it together and you do the odds of what you think is going to happen here. I don't think there's really a reason, thinking the way that Steven Stamkos thinks, that you would want to leave Tampa, you know, unless something happens that leaves him with a, you know, salty taste in his mouth about the negotiations, you know, because like you said, I mean, everything that he has is here. The legacy that he's built is all here. You know, we've seen him grow from this 18-year-old kid to, you know, he always talks about the camaraderie in the room and how much, you know, these guys all kind of grew up together, how he became a husband, a father, you know, how that's, you know, been a big part of his career in the later years, sharing some of his experiences with his sons and, you know, all of this stuff. I know that teams, you know, when you win, you're really tight, you know, the players really tight, but there's a different level of this team that really kind of revolves around, you know, the guys like Stamkos and Hedman, you know, those guys, it's not cliche to say that they all grew up together, you know, and it sucks that they've had to see a lot of those guys who've been their friends and, you know, been a part of that battle, quote unquote, you know, leave, you know, and I think that Steven also knows that he'd be pretty lucky and fortunate, maybe fortunate's the more word, to be able to say that he's a career-long bolt, you know, because a lot of guys before him haven't had that opportunity, you know, the Kalorns, the Palats, and guys like that. And those guys have all fit in well in other rooms. And just like Stephen Wood in another room, if he wanted to go to another team, you know, he's a champion, you know, he's a leader, just like the other guys before him who have left.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I don't think there is, you know, unless there's something else, something that breaks down in kind of a negotiation for why he would want to leave.
Eric, it sounded last night after the game that if it's up to John Cooper, Steven Stamkos isn't going anywhere. And it almost sounds like that even if it's not up to John Cooper, he doesn't think that Steven Stamkos is going to go anywhere. Let's hear what John Cooper had to say about what could have possibly been Stamkos' last game in a Tampa Bay Lightning uniform last night. He said this after the game.
A lot of conversation about the future of Steven Stamkos. What can you say about your captain and if you can imagine him not wearing a Lightning?
I don't know if there'll be much conversation. I hope not anyway. You know, he belongs here. We know it. He knows it. But again, this is 2 seconds after a game, but he and I have grown up together and he's a heck of a player, but he's also, I suppose in control of his own destiny, but I don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, he feels like a bolt for life, but only he and Julian can answer that one.
It's a very interesting answer, Eric, because at some points I feel like he's putting some pressure on Julian Brisebois, and at other points I almost feel like he's putting some pressure on Steven Stamkos. I don't know if you interpreted the same way. Like at the beginning, it feels like, oh my God, like he's putting Brisebois in a bad situation here, and that Steven is in the driver's seat. And then there's a little bit of guilt if Stamkos would leave, and then it's like he's a bolt for life and he knows it. And then this whole thing shouldn't take long. I don't know if he prepared this. I know he was expecting the question and it came. It seemed like as calculated as an answer as he's ever given.
How do you think he could have swayed a courtroom, a jury, right? With that kind of way to word things. I mean, he's really good at getting the point across and making a scene as if he's your best friend while doing it. It's amazing to watch. But I mean, he's right in all that aspect. I mean, everything he said is accurate. There's nothing, you know, no lies detected, as the saying goes, with what he said. I mean, there's no doubt publicly. Yeah, that's a way to kind of maybe squash it a little bit. You know, it's not going to go away until ink is to paper, right? That's not going to go away. This discussion, just like it was 8 years ago, you know, the summer of Stammergeddon was all about what's going to happen. He's going to Toronto. He's meeting with San Jose. What's going on with Detroit? And it wasn't until it finally came out that he was announced he was coming back, it was all finally put to bed. It's going to be the same situation here. It's a different feel. Obviously, he's not at the same point of his career as he was back then when he was being courted by all these other teams. But I'm spoiled. I've gotten to know Steven a little bit, as much as you can from a media member to a player in that aspect. But he does. He feels like a player who needs to finish his career in one jersey, in one city, in one town for everything he's done. But until pens to paper, you don't know.
Ed, but there are some Montreal Canadiens fans who today are saying, hold on a second here. Hold on a second. As great as life is in Tampa, and as many pieces as the Tampa Bay Lightning have, Steven Stamkos has accomplished everything there is to accomplish with the Tampa Bay Lightning, with the exception of 600 goals, like Eric brought up. But he's won 2 Stanley Cups. He's won Rocket Richards. He's had longevity. He's been there for the longest time. He's been the captain there. He's been great, been involved in the community. He's done so many charitable things, all that. But he has never played in Canada. The Montreal Canadiens are an original 6 team. They're probably the most prestigious team in all of hockey, who's won 24 Stanley Cups. It seems like It could be an awful lot of fun to play hockey for Marty St. Louis, who's your former teammate, who was your former teammate for about 6 years. In the organization, you have a guy, Vinny LeCavalier, who was your former, you know, was your teammate for about 5 years. The Canadians are, they have an exciting team. They need leaders to show the young guys the way. If they don't make the playoffs with Stamkos, it's not the end of the world. He's already won his two cups. He's okay. If he doesn't sign a long-term deal, he probably doesn't want to play in the National Hockey League that much longer. If they don't give him the most money, and even the money that they do give him is taxed at very, very high rate, as we know, it's probably not the end of the world. It's probably not the most important thing to – right? There's so many things that they're saying to try and convince themselves of that possibility that Stamkos – now, I don't think it's going to happen, right? Because there's too many strikes against it happening. But only Stamkos knows what he's thinking. If Stamkos would want to play in Canada – and loves Marty St. Louis and loves Vinny LeCavalier and would love to play for them and is ready for a change, even though I think he looked like he had an awful lot of fun, or feels disrespected because the contract wasn't done already. Ed, is there like a chance? Like I almost feel like a dumb and dumber here when he said, you know, what are the chances of, yeah. And she said more like one in a million. And he said, so you're saying there's a chance. Yeah. How much of a chance, Ed?
Well, Tony, I got to be honest with you. I was in Montreal about 3 weeks ago, and there was about a foot of snow on the ground in the first week of April.
Yeah. So, and you probably got out of traffic 2 days ago.
And there's no doubt that, you know, a big part of recruiting players in Tampa is that sunshine in the wintertime. And when I came off that plane, I was in Toronto. It was cold and rainy the day before. And then I step off that plane in Montreal, and I stepping into, you know, a foot of snow.
I know, man. I know.
But on your point, you make very good points, and you know, there is something interesting to the notion, I think, of Stephen holds Marty St. Louis in such high regard, and. In a lot of ways, he was one of his best mentors. He taught him how to lead. He taught him, you know, how to win in a lot of ways. And that relationship is one that's very, very tight. Like you said, you know, he played with Vinny. He respects the history of the game. You know, so some of that stuff that you talk about in terms of, you know, the potential of playing for an original six team, you know, being a part of history. Now, having said that, the other part of it is he's created his own history here. You know, he's created that own legacy here that he's a huge part of. So, you know, how does that counteract, you know, any kind of notion that, you know, wanting to be a part of something different, something new? Now, also having said another point is that, you know, leading somewhere else and leading with a group that, you know, is a young group that maybe needs that one piece. You know, we've seen a lot of guys here over the years who have done that. You know, Anaheim wanted a guy like Alex Killorn who'd won two cups. New Jersey was a young team that wanted a veteran guy who'd won two cups and Andre Palat. So we've seen that too. You know, Stamkos is different because he is Tampa. You know, he is synonymous with the Bolt. He is synonymous with lifting that cup. So I think in that part it's a little bit different, but to feed the beasts of your question, sure, there's some ties there that you can kind of see that if he does think a certain way that, you know.
Guys, two more before I let you go. This one here is going to be the toughest one, okay? Ed, we'll start with you. If you had to say yes or no, does Stamkos re-sign with Tampa, yes or no?
I think yes. I don't know how the money works out because I think that's the toughest part, especially when you do want to keep Victor Hedman. Two, I think, like I said, Julian's much smarter than me when it comes to...
Give me a probability of Stamkos staying in Tampa, pardon me.
Right now, I think 75%.
75%. Yeah. And if he doesn't, if there's one team that you would see him signing with, one team, who do you think it would be?
I don't know. I don't even know. I haven't even put my head around something like that, to be honest.
Okay. All right. So there's not one that stands out for you. No. Eric, probability of Stamkos re-signing with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Is 91% too easy to say? Is that
91 is a great number, by the way. Great number. Okay. And that sounds like an extremely high number. And should he wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know what? I did everything I set out to accomplish here in Tampa. It's time for a new challenge. Is there a team that stands out more than the rest for you? That would be a great fit for Steven Stamkos.
Well, he knows the general manager in Detroit pretty well, right?
Yeah, that, he definitely does.
That general manager in Detroit has a good, pretty good stable of young players. Wasn't afraid to go out and sign Patrick Kane this season to try and help them.
No.
Doesn't sound like Kane is coming back.
I'm just wondering how much snow there is and how much traffic there is in Detroit right now. I'm trying to compare the two, but I've never been to Detroit, so I wouldn't know. Guys, it's the last question I'm going to ask you. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask it. I thought John Cooper was absolutely brilliant a couple of days ago when talking about legendary play-by-play announcer Bob Cole and what he meant to him, and it was all class. Last night, he gave an answer to a question which for some people was not all class. And there's been a lot of reaction on social media to it. Just a quick snippet of the answer when talking about the two Tampa Bay disallowed goals.
Paddles aren't allowed anymore. And that's part of everybody's game. It's like the boxing out that goes there. It's like prison rules in the playoffs. But it's not prison rules for the goalie. Like the second something happens, you know, like we might as well put skirts on them then. If that's how
all right.
It's going to be.
Stop.
I mean, they have to battle through stuff too.
Stop. All right, guys. I don't have to tell you that that comment obviously offended some people. I don't know John Cooper personally. I know people that do, and I'm sure you guys know him personally. And they tell me that, you know, this guy's a lot of class. I just think he made a mistake with what he said, and I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out with some kind of a statement or the next time he talks that he's going to apologize for what he said. What did you make of his comment and how do you think, you know, what do you think the next step is for him in that regard?
Well, look, there's a reason why we in the media like to have somewhat instantaneous access after games, right? Is because the emotion is still real. And he did save that answer about the two disallowed goals for the very end, because he knew he was going to get emotional over it, because it obviously had a big impact on the game. And I think the emotions took over. As we talk a lot about hockey culture in the last number of years, I think that that is just part of hockey culture. It's not excusable. It was a cringe-worthy moment for sure. But John Cooper is all about class. This is the same man who, when I lost my job with the newspaper in New York, my last day with the Tampa Tribune, when we went under, he pulled me into his office and had a private conversation and let me behind the scenes on something. He took a picture with me and put it on his Twitter page. Please, somebody hire this guy. He is all class. I'm telling you, it was a slip of the tongue. It was definitely cringeworthy. He has twin daughters at home, so, you know, he doesn't take this stuff lightly. I wouldn't be surprised if the next time he speaks, which I think will be an exit interview day here coming up, that he probably does say something to apologize for it, because that is not who John Cooper is. I think it was just the emotion of the moment.
Ed, not everyone would do what John Cooper did with Eric on the day that he lost his job. That's something.
Yeah, I mean, Eric obviously knows Coop a lot longer than I do, but yeah, I will, you know, I was in the hospital during the Stanley Cup final a couple of years ago. And he was one of the first guys to come up to me when I came back and asked me how I was doing. I mean, I got a ICU. I was in the ICU for 6 days, like at the end of the season. And they said he was one of the first guys to come up and ask me how I was doing in the middle of what one of the biggest moments in the world. And like I said, some of this is, and this isn't to excuse it, because I think it was a slip of the tongue. It wasn't right what he said, but there are we do get this access right in the moment, right in the most emotional moment of you know, at the end of the season, and that's what we want, because we want the authenticity to it, and you yeah. know, for us to cover the game, like we want that side, so we do see the good and the bad of it a little bit in a situation like this, and John, like, you know, like we've talked about, like he's a lawyer and And a lot of the stuff that he does say is very carefully, you know, thought out from the way. And again, like when I asked that question last night, he purposely was like, you know, I'll address that at the end, you know, and for that reason, because he wanted to say it the right way. And so I think that was it kind of, you know, failed on him in that moment. But I think that was definitely more emotion than anything else. And but yeah, John Cooper, again, I don't know him as long as Eric does, but he is a class act.
It's almost like letting out a curse word. It's almost like letting out a curse word in the middle of a statement or something. You don't mean to do it. It slips out. It doesn't define your character when you do it. Sometimes it just happens and we regret it.
You know what? I think he's going to address it in the next couple of days here. I believe that, really. Ed Encina of the Tampa Bay Times, Eric Erlandson, lightninginsider.com. Guys, today I had to go to Tampa to talk about the Lightning, specifically Steven Stamkos. Couldn't think of two better people to talk to. You guys are absolutely outstanding. I appreciate you joining me on the Sick Podcast. Thanks so much, guys. Take care of yourselves. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. Give them a follow on formerly known as Twitter, now known as Application X, I would imagine. Once again, Ed Encina and Eric Erlandson. Special thanks to Energy Transportation Group. Special thanks to La Bite TB. Special thanks to Playground. Special thanks to Accent Insurance Solutions. Follow us on YouTube if you haven't already. Subscribe to our channel. It's absolutely free. Thank you very much for that. And leave us a sick comment, S-I-C-K, if you enjoyed the podcast. And more importantly, even leave us a 5-star review. It's our way of feeling the love. For Shane Gaumont at Master Control, have a good night, everyone. I'm Marinaro. We'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same place, the Sick Podcast.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group, driven to be different. La Vida TV, embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.